It says this. It says, I will praise the name of the Lord with song. That's a good thing to do. We just did that, didn't we? But he says something else. David said, and I will magnify him, magnify God. And it tells us how, with a grateful heart, with a thankful heart. In other words, with thanksgiving.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. It's so great to have you tuning in today, and once again, we welcome you to Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill begins the final message from his series, Essentials of the Heart. This message is titled, A Thankful Heart. Let's listen in.
I want you to turn in your Bibles with me tonight as we conclude with the essentials of the heart. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 again. That's where we were last week, Colossians chapter 3. This is the number 6 in a series, and the final one tonight as we conclude with the essentials of the heart. It's a summer series that we've been going over and looking into our heart. And I think it's appropriate tonight as we close out this series with the topic of a thankful heart, a thankful heart. And, you know, the kind of life that we live today, literally, and you know it and I know it because we've learned, is actually a result of what's going on in our hearts. Amen? And every action is literally a heart action. And our heart is the center of all that operates in us. You know, in other words, all that is good, all those things that maybe not be so good, they all come from the heart. Everything originates there. The real you, the real me is found in our hearts. Let me read that foundational scripture to you that we have opened with every Wednesday night for the past 6 weeks from Proverbs 4. Verse 23, where it says, keep, or literally guard, protect your heart with all diligence, which means above everything else, protect your heart. And it tells us why. For out of it proceed the issues of life. And as I say every time, that word life is a big, big word. Amen? And all that goes into our heart, everything that's going on, comes right out of our heart. And God says in His Word, listen, above everything else, you need to protect your heart. For out of it proceeds the issues of life. So we've learned that, you know, Jesus is alive in our hearts. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. We know that, crying, Abba, Father, there in our hearts. He lives there, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We know that we're speaking of glory. We've learned about our heart, that we're being transformed, if you will, from glory to glory into the same image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And if we are stuck in glory, it's not a God problem, is it? No, if we're stuck in glory, it's a problem from your own heart. It's always a heart issue if we're not willing to keep going forward, because I can promise you the Holy Spirit is always wanting to change us. Amen? Always changing us into Christ's likeness. We realize that we have that wonderful heart of a finisher, and that we're looking at the author and finisher of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned last week here in Colossians chapter 3, about the peace of God. Matter of fact, let's just begin at verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, the things that we've just talked about, look what he says to do. Paul says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond or the belt, if you will, of perfection. And here's the scripture we camped on last Wednesday night. And let the peace of God, or literally it's the peace of Christ, rule where? In your hearts. Very, very important, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Now, the word rule, as we already know, is found nowhere else in the New Testament but here. And the word literally means to umpire. It's an athletic term in the Greek. In other words, Jesus is our divine umpire. And the tender mercies and the kindness and the long-suffering and the goodness, all those things work through our Lord and Savior, who is the umpire in our heart. Amen? And if they're not working, maybe we've stopped Jesus from working. And so, in other words, that we're maybe doing something we shouldn't be doing. But you know, the thing about letting Christ rule in our hearts, being the umpire, is if we don't have a peace about doing something, we shouldn't do it. Amen? You know, the Bible tells us, for example, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a given. We know that's the perfect will of God. Don't ever do that. However, you know, if we say we have a job in Montana on a dude ranch or something, you know, and we're going to move or something, well, you can't find that anywhere in the Bible, can you? So you have to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You have to allow God to umpire that decision, and He will never, ever lead you astray. And we learn that we should never violate that peace. Now, from verse 15, I want to make sure we don't miss that word where it says, to which you were also called in one body. Listen, we were not only buried with Christ, we were raised with Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:6 that we are also seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and we are also complete in Christ. Amen? And not only that, when we look at this one body, all of us here tonight, all of you that's listening live, if you're in Christ, if you're born from above, listen very carefully, we equally all share the same position. Amen? All of us, we equally share that same position in Christ. But we may not all in the body of Christ practice our position. What would happen? I was thinking, what would happen if every person who is attached to Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, what if we literally, all of us, allowed the peace of God to truly rule in our hearts, to truly umpire in our hearts. And if we allowed that to happen, where we were practicing all the time the heart of Christ, you know, because we've taken His yoke, amen? The yoke is that lowly heart of Jesus that lives in us. And imagine if we practice all that, these tender mercies and kindness and forgiving one another. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 15:7, Paul says, therefore receive one another just as Christ has received us. You know what? The true heart of Calvary Chapel, you know how it's exposed? It's exposed through me, and it's exposed through each and every one of you. In other words, the true heart of Calvary Chapel is revealed by you and by me because we belong to one body. Amen? So whenever people talk to us, they come in, they visit with us, or when we minister one to another, when we love one another, you know, the truth of the matter is the heart of Christ, the heart of this church is revealed through each and every one of us. And we could all ask ourselves a question. If everyone served like me, what kind of church would Calvary be? If everyone gave like me, what kind of church would Calvary be? If everyone greeted one another the way I greet, how would this church really be? How would it be seen? That's an important thought, isn't it? All of us are one body, and how we need to each of us. If we're His body, what means we have to have a head, and Jesus is the head of the body. Amen? We're just attached to Him, and we are nourished and receive our strength through Him. So there in Colossians 3:15, where it talks about the peace of God ruling in our hearts, I want you to look at the last two words, and that is our key tonight. In verse 15, it says, rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and what? Be thankful. Say that with me. Be thankful. That is our key verse, or our key words tonight. Especially, I think it's appropriate that we close out this series with a thankful heart because we're getting ready to celebrate communion. Amen? So I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you know what? Would you say that thankless believers are usually peaceless believers? There's just not a lot of peace in their hearts. You know what I mean? And did you know that really and truly peace and thankfulness are almost inseparable? They just literally go together. Matter of fact, on this last essential that we look tonight about a thankful heart, no matter what we're experiencing, having a thankful heart, so important. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good, just like a medicine. But you know, if we really, we could have another theme in the book of Colossians, okay? besides Christ and His church, for example, the theme of Colossians, we could have another theme, and that's the theme of being thankful. I looked and counted them here. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father. Colossians 2:7, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, be thankful. I just read that. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with, there's that word grace. It means thanks in our hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, it says, giving thanks to God the Father. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Giving. You know, there's something about being thankful. Someone once told me, said, you can find something to be thankful about in this life. Amen? Find it and be thankful. That's what this person one time told me. You know, Jesus told us, remember that in Matthew 12:34, he said, from the abundance of the heart, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, whatever comes out of our mouth, it comes from our heart, and it's an accurate gauge of who we really are, if we're really thankful or not. And I think it's important that we listen to what we say, listen to what we say to other people, how we talk to our family, our wives, our husbands, and so forth. You know, it says in Hebrews 13:15, it says, therefore, meaning because Jesus died outside of the camp for our sins, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And here it is, that is the fruit of our lips. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Paul says, or whoever the writer of Hebrews was, I believe it to be Paul, he says, the fruit of our lips. Where does the fruit of our lips come from? From our heart. He says that the fruit of our lips, here it is, giving thanks to His name. The name of our Father which art in heaven, all the incredible names of God. I mean, do you know, you've heard me say it many times, there are over 80 Old Testament names for God. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of peace, amen? He's the God of hope. We can go through this. He's El Shaddai. He's all these things. The Bible tells us who He is. He's our provider, Jehovah Jireh. I mean, all that He is. We can be thankful, amen? You know what? You may be saying, I don't know which way I'm going today. I don't know what's wrong in my life. I'm telling you, if you are in Christ, He's leading you someplace. If you are a true believer, He's going to get you there. He's going to get you home. So we need to be thankful, but the way to really be thankful is to know who God is, to really know who Jesus is. You know, remember what caused Jesus to weep in John 11:35? Remember it says Jesus wept. Why did He weep? Amen. Thank you. He wept because of the unbelief of the people that were there. The unbelief in His ability. Jesus said, did I not say unto you to Mary, Martha, and all the rest of them, if you would just believe, John 11:40, if you just believe, you would see the glory of God. It broke His heart. May I say something to you? That unbelief in the ability of God says that we really don't know much about God. Amen. I'm not being critical. I'm talking, this is serious business. You know, I look at this and I say, oh Lord, our hearts should explode with thanks. Our hearts should never be filled with doubt and unbelief. You know, remember what it says in Hebrews 3:12. It says, beware of what? That evil heart of unbelief. A heart that's filled with unbelief. God says, that's just an evil heart. And God says, no, I don't want you to do that. And that's the main reason for thankfulness, unthankfulness, is not believing in God that He's going to make it happen. You know, there are days just like, I have days just like you. I am certainly no closer to God than you are. Just because I'm a pastor, I don't have any more pull, and I'm no more holy. We're all in it together, amen? And there are days that I have to look into my heart and say, Lord, you know what? I'm not expecting. I say, I want that out of my heart. I want to be expectant. I know you're going to do something today. I have to keep renewing my mind to God's word just like you do. I have to keep trusting and believing just like you do. The Bible tells us in Psalm 69, I believe verse 30, it says this. It says, I will praise the name of the Lord with song. That's a good thing to do. We just did that, didn't we? But he says something else that David said. He said, and I will magnify Him, magnify God. And it tells us how, with a grateful heart, with a thankful heart. In other words, with thanksgiving. When's the last time you magnified God? Now, to magnify God doesn't mean that you make God bigger. You understand? In other words, you know, it's not making something bigger than it really is, but to magnify God means that you see God the way He really is. Amen? You say, He's God. I was thinking before I came out here, I was going to ask the praise band. I was just, because I mess with them all the time because they're out there, you know, in the hall. And I was saying, how would you feel tonight if you were getting ready to go out and face the Lord? You know, in other words, face to face. And I didn't say that to them, but then I was going to say, well, you are. See, the Lord is here. And we magnify Him, knowing and realizing how awesome and how big He is. See, when we know how big God is, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, when we magnify Him and say, oh Lord, You are bigger than any problem that I am facing, our heart is then filled with thanksgiving unto God. Amen? And that's so important. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 66:1, it says, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that You will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? Now that must be a pretty big throne. Amen? Heaven, I mean, the earth is His footstool. Just think, He chose this place here to put His feet. Thank God for that. Solomon there, when he was praying to the Lord, he says, behold, the heavens and heaven of heavens cannot contain You. Isaiah 66:2 says this, for all those things, God says, my hand is made, and all those things exist. In other words, everything in the universe. But on this one will I look, here it is, on Him who is poor. Are you worn out? You poor, you weak tonight? He says, this one I will look, the one who is poor, and here it is, and of a contrite spirit. That's more than a broken spirit. It's a person whose heart's been crushed. Amen? Talking about the heart, God says, oh, I'll look to that one, and to he who trembles at my word. Isn't that amazing? God owns everything. God created everything. And out of all the things that I just read to you, out of all the things that He created, He says right there, He tells us what really holds His gaze. Isn't that amazing? God says, to this person I will look. That's what holds the gaze of God. He looks upon our hearts. You think God is looking on your outside tonight? No. You know, we could dress like $1 million. You know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with that either. But that doesn't show anything, does it? No. Remember, God says in this word in Samuel, He said, you know, He said, God doesn't look as man looks on the exterior, the outside. He says, no. He told the prophet, He said, listen, the Lord looks upon the what? The heart. He sees everything that's going on tonight. He knows everything that's happened to us all week. And you know what? One of the greatest things we can do to be thankful is to move our eyes off of the visible and place them on the invisible. Amen? In other words, we look at our circumstances and we make our circumstances bigger than God. We make them bigger than the Word of God. We make them bigger than the Holy Spirit of God, bigger than our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, I start thinking about that and I say, you know what? Lord, I'll tell you, there are people I know tonight, you're here, and you know what? You may be worn out and you may be beat down. And you may say, my heart is just worn out and crushed. May I tell you something? If that's true, God's looking right at you. His gaze, you've captured His gaze tonight. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks, listen to how long or when, always for all things. Can you believe that? For all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, if we are to thank God at all times, would you say that the giving of thanks must be important? Absolutely, it must be. And you know what? The giving of thanks unto the Lord, being thankful today, it is a heart issue. It's not a mental issue. It's a heart issue, for out of the heart proceed all the issues of our lives. And you may say, you know, Bill, that scripture you just read in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. I think maybe they wrote that wrong in the Greek or something, you know. You know, the words there, always and for all things. Well, it didn't say in all things, did it? It says for all things. You know, we're not to celebrate going through trials, are we? No. No, but you know, it's not about rejoicing in it. It's rejoicing for all things. We're just saying, Lord, whatever we're going through, I'm going to praise You. You know, Jeremiah said this. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I love that scripture because, you know, We're faced with things all the time here at the church. People come into my office, they're faced with mountains. I mean, you know, it hurts me when I see a mom, a young mom, come in, three little kids, and the dad is not taking care of them. You understand? That's a horrible thing, isn't it? And they're all broken up, and they have no money, nothing to eat, and just trying to make it, and you're nursing one, and two of them you're pulling along with you, and I say, why all this pain, all this hurt? And I have to always remember, there's nothing. And I looked that young girl in the eye and I said, I want you to know that there's nothing too hard for God. I'm telling you that God is going to come to your aid, that He is going to help you. And may I say to you, I believe that with all my heart, that there's absolutely nothing too hard, nothing too difficult for the Lord that we serve. Amen? And He's the one that looks upon our heart. And there are times, I'll tell you, that we should, even though we're going through the time of whatever it may be, we should just open up our mouth and, you know what? Let the thanks be to God pour right out of our heart. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice sometimes. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the NIV. And I'm just joking. I have nothing. You know, I'm not beating anybody up if they have the NIV, but rejoice always. Did you know that that is a command? That's not an option. That's a command. Rejoice always. What's so wonderful, it tells us who to rejoice in, the object of our rejoicing. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul says, again, I say, rejoice. Paul, writing in Thessalonians 5:17, he says this. He says, pray without ceasing. That's another command. Pray without ceasing. And listen to what he says. Well, let me stop right there. To pray without ceasing doesn't mean that we pray 24/7, does it? No, it means we pray all the time. But here's what it means. It means never give up. Never give up. Persistent, passionate prayer. Never giving up. Even when it looks like it's over. Even when it looks like there's no way out. Even when you feel like I just can't even say another word. Well, when you can't say another word, fall on your face and start groaning. Amen? Groaning is scriptural. It's in the Bible. Amen? In the Holy Spirit. It says, with groanings that cannot be uttered, there in Romans chapter 8. So groaning is definitely spiritual, okay? I mean, I hear a lot of groaning from the body. You're a praying bunch, aren't you? No, listen, something happens. Praying without ceasing. And then one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. And it says, remember, it says, in all things, or in everything. Here it is. Give what? Thanks. In everything, not for everything, but in it, whatever you're going through, in it. He says, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Would you say that the will of God is the safest place in the world for a Christian to be? Well, if this is a command, would you say that the majority of the church is out of the will of God? Are we really giving thanks? You know, I know you've heard me talk a lot about that, especially in circumstances. Remember what it says in Psalm 22, verse 3, I believe it is, that God inhabits the praises of Israel, or the praises of His people. My heart is so full of gratitude for you. You say, well, Bill, how can we really be thankful when all these things are happening? Well, you know, first of all, we have to believe that God is for us. Amen? But we have to really believe what it says in the Bible. That's why we always need to renew our minds to the Word of God. Remember what it says in Romans 8:28. It says something. It says, we know that all things, amen? Not some things, not a few things. All things work together for what? For good. Do you really believe that? That all things, and boy, people say, that's not what that's saying. Yes, it is. It's saying that all things work together for good, not to everyone, no, only to those, it says, who love God and that are called according to His purpose. In other words, God has a purpose, a plan for you in your life, in my life. Amen? Do you believe that every detail of our lives, if we're in Christ and we're saved, work together for good?
Once again, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow for the conclusion to A Thankful Heart. It's been a blessing spending time with you today, and we want to thank you for tuning in. Until next time, we pray that you have a wonderful day. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.